Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
It's Anna Daly sitting in for Andrea today. Now we have Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, with me to answer all of your questions. Good afternoon to you,
Good
Nina.
Good afternoon, Anna.
Thank you for joining us. They're coming in thick and fast. Will we go straight in?
Off you go.
Our kids, as well as us parents, have had smallpox vaccines. Does smallpox vaccine protect from mpox virus? That's from Justina in Dublin.
Okay, so I think I've always been told as a doctor it's important to know what you know and know what you don't know, and that is very much outside my remit. So smallpox vaccines are not part of our standard vaccines. That's the first thing. So it's not the chickenpox vaccine. That would be a different vaccine.
I was just about to ask that. Okay.
Yeah. So smallpox is... Yeah, so I'm just confused. A smallpox vaccine is not something I deal with or have dealt with. So I'm going to pass on that
and
question.
And it's not the standard vaccines the children go through with the passport.
It's not a standard vaccine that children would have.
Okay.
I'm not even aware that it's a very common travel vaccine. So I'm just, are they confusing it with the chickenpox vaccine maybe?
Okay, well maybe we'll
and
get
if
clarification.
It was chickenpox vaccine, no, it's not. It's not. Mpox is different. And I suppose there's a lot about mpox. And obviously, you know, as doctors, as healthcare workers and as people, we need to be aware that it's out there and the kind of signs to watch for. But thankfully, you know, very rare, and we haven't had that many cases in Ireland, but we're all just vigilant for rashes and that. So I would probably say don't assume any vaccine is covering you against something like that.
Okay. That's a conservative point of view. You're dead right. How do I reduce cholesterol? What should I be avoiding? Are eggs bad for it?
So the general consensus is they say an egg a day is okay, but I know a lot of people don't just eat one egg. I mean, eggs, you know, the yolk of an egg has cholesterol in it. But there are so many other foods are much worse and much higher in cholesterol. And there are so many nutrients in eggs as well. And so what I generally say to my patients is an egg a day is okay. That's not seven eggs on one day, however.
Yeah, you're so right. Like, do any of us go and make one egg, you know? Okay, so maybe every second day if you have
so just don't be eating them every day, because there's an awful lot of nutrition in eggs as well. And yes, while they do have cholesterol, there are so many other foods that I would suggest avoiding before you avoid eggs to manage.
Yeah, because I often think eggs is one of those things we think we're being good and actually
nutrient dense. They're a very good source of protein and, you know, there's fats and there's lots of vitamins in the yolk. So, you know, I wouldn't say you need to avoid them completely. There are other things you should avoid first.
Okay. I have an 8-month-old with cradle cap. Have tried coconut oil, but struggling to clear it. Any help? Much appreciated.
Yeah,
this
cradle cap really
one,
upsets
it?
Parents, doesn't it? Because it doesn't look very nice.
Yeah.
And it's very scaly and it can be oily. It doesn't tend to bother the kids too much. And in most cases, it eventually kind of comes
it lifts
away.
Itself,
so what I often say to people is, apart from you can use various oils, coconut oil, olive oil is one that the midwives will often recommend. I sometimes say if the scales are really adherent and they're bothering you, or, you know, seem to be getting kind of infected, to be a strong word, but what I would call boggy looking, using just a really soft toothbrush, like a child's toothbrush, you can gently just brush the scalp and that often lifts them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of just brush them away.
I remember using olive oil, I think. Would that be?
Yeah, olive oil is very good. Any of those oils, coconut oil, olive oil, any of those really simple oils, just it's about softening it. But then you have to kind of help lift them. But,
yeah.
You know, cradle cap as such doesn't, it's not an infection as such. It doesn't cause problems. But
yeah.
I know parents don't like it.
Aesthetically, it just doesn't look very pretty, maybe.
Yeah.
We're apologising. For it, aren't we, as soon as we meet people. Is COVID during pregnancy dangerous? I heard today that I was a close contact of someone who tested positive. I'm 16 weeks pregnant, no symptoms yet, but I'm worried.
So I suppose they do encourage pregnant women to get a COVID booster, but they encourage that after 16 weeks of pregnancy, so not in the first 16 weeks. There was some suggestion that later in pregnancy, COVID can result in early labour and some other issues. So I suppose we ask people to be vigilant. You know, if you've been in touch with someone now, there's not much you can do about it. Hopefully you have some immunity from either previous vaccines or having had COVID yourself in the past. So, you know, there's nothing active that you need to do right now, but I suppose be vigilant. And if you develop any symptoms, just link in with your doctor or your obstetric team. And I suppose do get your COVID booster now that you're 16 weeks pregnant.
Okay. Good advice. My cholesterol is 6.1. My LDL is 3.9.
Triglycerides.
Are 0.6. Thank you for that, Nina.
Nice.
My diet is mostly healthy and almost no saturated fat, and I exercise every day. Not sure how to go about lowering it without taking statin, is it? Especially given the triglycerides. How did you say it?
Triglycerides.
Triglycerides are so low.
So really, this person seems to be well-versed on the terminology for cholesterol. I would wonder, is there a medical background or understanding in the person who wrote that question? There are two types of bad cholesterol. There's your LDL and your triglycerides. And triglycerides, I kind of refer to them as the loose fat in the blood. It's kind of the more recent fats. You know, if you've eaten a big takeaway, your triglycerides might be up the next day.
Okay.
So it's important to get them both down. So triglycerides of 0.6 is low, so that's good. That's a low one bad cholesterol. And the other, the LDL, is 3.9. So the total isn't as much of an issue because the total is made up of your good and bad, and they don't mention what their good cholesterol is there. Certainly following what we call a Mediterranean diet. So, you know, everyone knows what it is. It's unprocessed foods, healthy fats, exercising, all of those things will help improve your cholesterol. You can add in those cholesterol lowering drinks and yogurts.
Do they work?
They have a thing called plant sterols in them they bind cholesterol in the gut and they can reduce it by about 10%. The studies would suggest you do have to use them all the time. So if you stop using them, you lose the benefit. But I do suggest to people to use them. I suppose genetics plays quite a role in cholesterol as well. And again, I'd always say to people, it's, you know, don't look at things in an isolated way. You've got to look at the big picture. If you are perfectly healthy, no family history of cholesterol and no other cardiovascular risks and your cholesterol is up a little bit, we would push you much further managing that with lifestyle than say someone who has a very strong family history of heart disease, is maybe a smoker or has other risk factors. We'd probably be heading towards a statin quicker with that person.
Okay.
So cholesterol is one risk for heart disease and it's very important to look at it in the context of all your risks for heart disease and a healthy lifestyle. So always have a chat with your doctor about it.
Okay, but as you say, sometimes you can have high cholesterol and be super healthy based on genetics.
Genetics play a strong role. I've seen people
kind of
be really healthy.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of those do end up on statins because you do sometimes see heart disease in those families as well.
I have a case of constant ringing in my ears, not to a point where it's causing distress, but I don't want it to become hazardous or lead to something more serious. Anything I can do?
So ringing in the ears, and we call tinnitus or tinnitus, people say it different ways, and it's a kind of sensation of a high-pitched ringing in the ear. Something as simple as a load of wax in your ear can do it, so it's always worth going along and having your ears looked at, because obviously the wax can be removed and that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And then just having a look and see, is there any congestion in the ears, any issues going on there? After that, we do recommend getting a hearing test, because if your hearing is reduced, it can lead to ringing in the ears. And so simple things like protecting yourself from noise. I mean, anyone who's been exposed to really loud noise knows maybe you'll have ringing in your ears after. So, you know, it goes without saying that you need to protect your ears. So hopefully this will be transient, but they're saying constant, you know, go along to your doctor, have the ears checked, get a hearing test and take it from there. And then they do sometimes have special hearing aids, what they call masking hearing aids, that have this kind of background noise that kind of almost confuses your hearing, so you don't notice the ringing in your ears as much.
So you don't notice it. Okay. Yeah. You mentioned ears cleaning. Should you be doing that? Should we be all doing that?
Poking in our ears, no.
No.
No, never put anything smaller than your...
Or having them cleaned.
No, but if you've ringing in your ears, it could be wax. And so, you know, wax usually makes its own way out. We all have wax in our ears. It's the body's way of cleaning the ears. But some people get a buildup of wax. Sometimes the wax goes hard. And in that instance, we'd often get people to soften the wax and then we can syringe or microsuction, which is probably even safer, is just sucking the wax out as opposed to flushing it out.
Okay.
But for people who have ringing in their ears, sometimes a simple thing is literally just getting rid of the wax from their ears.
Okay. But if you've no symptoms, you shouldn't be touching it at all.
You shouldn't be poking things into your ears.
I'm a 55-year-old male. I started to get pins and needles in my fingers and feet. Sensitive feeling in fingers and sometimes hands feel itchy as well. What could it be? I know I should go to my GP, but I did not get around to it yet.
So I suppose there's
very honest in fairness, isn't
it? So there are so many things that could cause that. I mean, obviously, you know, pins and needles in your fingers and feet. So if it was just your feet, we'd say maybe it could be a disc or pressure in your lower back. But this is fingers and feet. So if it's a spinal cord thing, it's much higher up. It's going to be up around your neck or somewhere. But simple things like some arthritis in your neck, some pressure on nerves can lead to it. It can go as far as something like low B12. Certain vitamin deficiencies can lead to tingling in your hands and feet. So I know you haven't got to your GP yet, but this person definitely needs